Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you on board with us as we face the issues. I pray that you had a wonderful Resurrection Sunday celebration in your church. It is a joyful time of the year, a wonderful, wonderful time when we can celebrate the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and understand all of the connotations that's pointed out to us in the scripture that's beneficial for us today as a result of Christ dying on the cross for us and resurrected on the third day, giving us victory over sin, death, and the grave. The Lord Jesus Christ is soon coming back to receive us unto himself. Where he is, there we may be also. So thank you for the opportunity we have each and every day to come to you by way of this radio broadcast. Let me remind you that we invite you to join in the dialogue and discussion. You can do that by dialing 831-0917. 831-0917 is the telephone number. Your call goes directly to the studios and right to our microphones so that we can entertain your question, your comment, your dialogue, and your discussion on the issues we're talking about today. Should Christians be silent? Should Christians be silent? When we see what's taking place in the world, we watch what is happening around us. When we understand that our moral, ethical foundation in America is being eviscerated, totally destroyed, how should we respond? Should we just sit in silence? That's the question we're going to be dealing with today, and a variety of issues that mitigate into that particular question that should cause us as Christians, as conservatives, as patriots, should cause us to sit up and understand that it's time to be silent no longer. It's time for Christians to speak up, speak out, be heard, be seen. Ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, let me remind you that we do so based on the authority of Scripture. John 8, 31 and 32, the Lord Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. And then Jesus said in John 14, 6, I am truth. Further, he says in John 17, 17, thy word is truth. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the truth of the word of God that ought to move, mandate, motivate our lives. It is the truth of the word of God that we ought to stand on. It is truth today, ladies and gentlemen, that is so demeaned and undermined and rejected that I don't know if you've noticed it or not, but we're simply moving in a direction of secularism in our nation with a secular society where truth is not viewed as anything that is a moral absolute anymore. It was in the dystopian novel of George Orwell entitled 1984, where George Orwell said the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. We see that very thing coming to light today, and it is on the fast track, ladies and gentlemen, I believe we're watching the demise in America of anything that will be called truth. And I believe, ladies and gentlemen, if I can just tuck this little footnote in, I believe that it's part and parcel as a result of the church's silence. The church's silence. That we have gone too far, too long in silence and allowing these things to take place rather than taking a stand. Back in yesteryear, the pastors would publish their Sunday messages on the bulletin board, so they didn't have mimeographs. They didn't have opportunity to do anything by social media. It wasn't available then. And so back in the 1700s and even the early 1800s, ladies and gentlemen, the pastors would publish their Sunday messages where they're challenging the liberal left leaning political figures that would challenge them from the pulpits and then publish it so the public figures could understand it as they'd go into the city square and read the pronouncements of what the pastor said. We find today that rather than it being the churches and the voice of the pastors, as Christians, it's in charge and directing the communication and the conversation. It's the loose likes lost liberals that's in the Beltway in Washington and many of the state houses across America that's making the final decision for us. Ladies and gentlemen, it was the 15th century theologian and church reformer Jan Hus that made this statement. Faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even to death. And ladies and gentlemen, I believe it's coming a day, and it's coming very, very soon, that if we remain in silence, if we continue to be silent, we're going to find that we have to take a stand, even if it means our lives. We'll have to take a stand for truth. No hiding from it, no running from it, no place to run, no place to go. And I'm fearful, ladies and gentlemen, that we're on the fast track for that. I'm not saying this in a fear-mongering fashion. I'm not saying this is a negative statement. I'm saying this is a factual facing the issues as to what we're faced with in America today. And I believe it's high time, ladies and gentlemen, that Christians in particular, conservatives in general, and patriots in reality, that we need to take a stand in America today as perhaps never before in the history of our great nation. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brand like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of Honda generators. Tools for Time, ladies and gentlemen, has a knowledgeable staff that can answer your questions about power backup equipment. They can answer your questions about professional and homeowner landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time, ladies and gentlemen, is located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. There's a gigantic flag flowing there. About 165-foot flagpole, I'm told, with a gigantic American flag. Ladies and gentlemen, at the base of that flagpole at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, a pastor in Canada, I have listened to his the video of this. I've read the article two or three times, and I must share it with you. It sets the stage for what I'm talking about and what I want us to understand today. A pastor in Canada had his church invaded by a squad of what the pastor called Nazis, Gestapo, communist fascists on Easter Sunday morning. The police and the health department officials supposedly were there to discuss COVID restrictions with him. And ladies and gentlemen, the final statement of the pastor, I believe, must be understood by all Americans and pastors and churches and Christians in particular. The pastor said, unbelievable were the lying in the total takeover of the government that these thugs and these goons, the brown shirts, the Gestapo, wannabe dictators are trying. Here's the article. Let me just read you briefly three or four brief paragraphs from this article. Ladies and gentlemen, you need to go find it online and review it if they've not taken it down. Title of the article says, unbelievable, sick, evil people. Pastor goes nuclear on the Nazi cops. This is out of Canada. Stunning video has emerged of a Christian pastor passionately kicking police out of the Passover service, church service this weekend, commemorating the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Out, the pastor shouted. Pastor of the Cave Adullam Church in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. Quote, Nazis are not welcome here. Do not come back, you Nazi psychopaths. Unbelievable, sick, evil people, intimidating people in the church during Passover. You Gestapo, you Nazi, communist, fascist, don't you dare come into this church. End quote. Further, the article says, can you imagine the psychopaths at Passover? The holiest Christian festival of the year, and they're coming into our church to intimidate us during the holiest festival? Unbelievable, the pastor said. What's wrong with you sick psychopaths? It's beyond me. How dare you to come in, he continued. The article then says, officials were present, including a woman wearing a jacket bearing the title Public Health Inspector, as well as seven police officers, many of them armed, apparently to discuss COVID-related health restrictions for the church and the pastor. But every time the woman wearing the public health inspector jacket attempted to speak, she was interrupted by the pastor. "Please get out of here. Get out of this property. Get out immediately," he told the officers as they stood on a staircase at the entry to the church. His voice became louder and louder as the officials did not appear eager to leave. Quote, "I don't want to hear a word from you. Out, out, out of this property. Immediately get out until you come back with a warrant. Out of here." End quote. The authorities eventually departed sheepishly as the pastor continued berating them and recording the incident on his cell phone. Quote, "Unbelievable. We're living in a total takeover of the government with their thugs, their goons, the brown shirts, the Gestapo wannabe dictators," the pastor said, "coming to this church armed with guns and tasers and handcuffs to intimidate during Passover celebration. Well, I guess that's what it is. They want to enslave us like the Egyptians did. They want to be pharaohs of today. That's what they're doing. Unbelievable. People, if you don't stand up, if you don't wake up, if you don't know what's happening, tomorrow it will be too late," end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe that sets the stage, spoken better than I could have spoken it for you, as to what I want us to understand in this broadcast today. We ought not to be silent. Now, in Canada, they have gone along with the show too long. They've allowed the government to control the voice of the people too long. They've allowed the government in Canada, just as in North Korea, just as in China, just as in Russia, Venezuela, they've allowed the voice of the people to be squelched so long that I don't know if it's possible for them to stand up, though I'm thankful to see that one pastor that had the backbone to stand up and to call it like it is. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that's the missing element in America today. That's the missing element as I see it, with pastors in silence, Christians in silence, not taking a stand on what we ought to take a stand on and what we need to say and do in relationship to it. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe America must cease to be silent. We must cease to be submissive to the demands and the mandates of the ideologues, the leftists, those with no moral compass, those in the Biden administration that's wanting to do everything possible to cause the church to cease and desist. Now you say, "I don't see that. I don't understand that. I don't see that happening." Ladies and gentlemen, the rants are on every turn. Those that are railing against Christians and morals and ethics and the ethicists, those with values in America today. The voices like Joe, Morning Joe, they call him. Here's an article dated March the 30th. Morning Joe goes epic rant attacking morons and lunatics who refuse to be vaccinated, for example. MSNBC's Joe Scarborough uncorked a lengthy rant against lunatics and morons pushing back on the basic coronavirus safety measures with the end of the pandemic in sight. Morning Joe host show bashed Christians and conservatives who warned that carrying proof of identification is draconian or possibly even satanic. It goes on, ladies and gentlemen, this article says, "But now we're saying if we that are now, of course, still pushing back on the mask, but we're saying it somehow identifies as having a vaccine, it's like it's part of Satan or the mark of the devil or Nazi Germany," Scarborough added. "The idiocy is just beyond us. They're acting reckless, irresponsible. They're being stupid, following conspiracy theories. They're following a failed game show host," speaking of President Trump, by the way, "a game show reality host, and they don't understand it. I guess maybe they're such morons, they don't understand this. Want to go to a baseball game with my son who has history of upper respiratory issues. I don't want a bunch of idiots, lunatics, sitting around me near us in Fenway Park," he says. "If you don't want to take the vaccine, they want to die, and they want to die. That's all right as Americans," Scarborough said. "They don't have to take the vaccine, and they can die if they want to really get sick. They can live in ignorance and stupidity." He rails and rails and rails against those, ladies and gentlemen, that are conservatives, patriots, Christians, that have said we don't want to take the vaccine. and he called Christians and conservatives everything but sane people. And ladies and gentlemen, that's the rant that we hear today, not just from the left, not just from the Biden administration, but from talk show hosts that you find like Joe Scarborough on MSNBC and multitudes of others that are lunatics and left wings on the air today. That's demeaning the voice of conservatives, demeaning the voice of Christians, and trying to say somehow, some way, we need to go back in the closet, go back under the bed, and cease to exist and cease to and desist to say anything. Now, that I don't know about you, but that rattles my cage. I get a little uptight with it. I'm passionate about the fact that we ought to cease to be silent. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Do you believe we need to remain silent? Do you believe Christians need to stand up, speak up, or do you should we just shut up and be silent? What are your thoughts? How do you stand on that? Where will we be as America another year, another 2 years, 5 years, if Jesus tarries? If we're silent as Christians today, and silence we have been too long, I believe, ladies and gentlemen, of the things that we see taking place. I believe that Americans need to cease to be silent. We need to cease to be submissive. We need to speak up, stand up before it's absolutely too late in our nation. Believers have been told for decades now, ladies and gentlemen, that Christians should simply stay out of the political agenda, that Christians should be good little Christians and do and say nothing, not even talk about political issues. Today we're seeing the demise, I believe, of Christian America, because our churches have been forced to stay closed as a result of COVID-19. And as a result of that, ladies and gentlemen, the government is now flexing its muscle even more with the agenda that they have under the Biden administration to absolutely silence the voice of morals, ethics, and values in America. And if it continues, and if these things are allowed to take place, ladies and gentlemen, it will close the churches of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to talk about that more in this broadcast today. I believe we need to understand the road that we're on, the journey that we're taking, the destiny that is ours. If American Christians and conservatives and patriots remain silent, that simply is unthinkable, ladies and gentlemen. Here's an article that says, university staffer told, don't say Christmas or Easter. Now, this is dated April the 1st. A video has been released that shows an official of the Western California University instructing resident assistants not to say Christmas or Easter. And it goes into great detail. I'll read you one paragraph that sets the stage for what their teleconference was about in the training of new assistants on what to say and how to communicate. And it's demeaning for Christians. One thing, this article says, one thing I do not want to let you, that I do want to let you keep in mind. Inclusive excellence is part of our creed. This is the trainer from Western Carolina University. The article says, one thing I do want to let you keep in mind. Inclusive excellence is part of our creed. So we can't assume that all our residents celebrate Easter. So when you actually are talking about Easter eggs, I'm like, what Marvel has Easter eggs in a movie or something, like in a video game. So I thought like something along these lines, he says, but you can do like our scavenger hunt, or you can hide things in the building, or even you can during the holiday. He says, we can't let you say Christmas or specific one religious holiday. We just can't allow you to say Christmas or Easter. He goes on and is mumbling, just because we have to be inclusive, you know, end quote. That's the mumbling, bumbling voice of a fool. One that says he doesn't believe God exists. And as a result of that, one to chide and challenge anything that's called morals and ethics and values as we view it from a Christian standpoint. And you can't even, they're being told and trained that you can't even say Christmas or Easter. You can't use those two words. After all, those are bad words in the vocabulary of the ones that are in charge of our educational system today across America, it may seem. Ladies and gentlemen, because of COVID-19, because of the smokescreen of COVID-19, because of the farce of COVID-19 pandemic. And by the way, it's a plandemic. And if you don't believe that, I'm looking at an article here, ladies and gentlemen, says disturbing. Bill Gates made $100 billion deal with Democrats months before the coronavirus pandemic. The article states, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation helped negotiate who would score a $100 million government-backed contract, tracing contract, a contact tracing contract in August of 2019. Notice the date? They had the deal, negotiated the deal, August 2019, 6 months before the pandemic arrived in the United States and 4 months before it swept through China. Now, let's pause for a moment, ladies and gentlemen. How did Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation know that there was a need for contact tracing? How did they know that there was going to be a pandemic? How did they know that they were going to have a contract that would allow them to do the contact tracing? This article further says, the investigative duo, in the first interview since the bombshell congressional testimony, revealed to Payne, that's the person that's interviewing, that representatives from the Gates Foundation met with U.S. Congressman Bobby Rush at a sit-down in Rwanda, East Africa, mid-August 2019, to hash out who would score the windfall from a government contract tracing program. And just last month, 9 months after the meeting with the Gates Foundation in Rwanda, Rush, a Democrat from Illinois, introduced a $100 billion H.R. 666 COVID-19 testing tracing bill, reaching and contacting everyone. It's called TRACE is the name acronym for the bill. The Rush bill would establish a program run by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, CDC, for national coronavirus testing and contact tracing. The footnote of the article says, but how can you negotiate a byproduct of monitoring a pandemic 6 or 7 months before the outbreak of the virus ever even happened, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, it's because it's a plandemic, as some have been calling it. Now, yes, the virus is real. Yes, the virus is deadly. Yes, the virus is swept around the world. And yes, also, Emperor Lord Fauci, as he is now nicknamed, Dr. Anthony Fauci, part and parcel of the negotiation with the making of the COVID-19 virus in the laboratories in North Carolina, then moved to the Wuhan, China laboratory in China, where we continue to fund it through backdoor approach, where Anthony Fauci, Dr. Fauci, was part and parcel of the milking of the funds going into some other organizations, then funded in the back through the back door to Wuhan, China. And yes, it's in the weaponization of the pathogen that somehow, whether it was purposeful or accidental, we'll never know. But Dr. Fauci was part and parcel of the design, the creation of the pathogen known as COVID-19. And it's because of his relationship to Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, seated on the board with the foundation, that he was fully knowledgeable of where the thing was going and what would take place. So they were setting the stage. They were getting ready for it even before we, the people, knew that it was possible that this pathogen could kill thousands of people on a global basis. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about what has happened as a result of that. And one of the things that's taken place is the churches have been forced to be closed. Thousands of churches still remain closed in the United States of America today. Today we're seeing the demise of Christian America. Our churches have been forced to close on the fake COVID-19 pathogen. When I say fake, I'm not saying that the pathogen is fake, but it's a fake, phony farce that's been perpetrated on all of society. Here's an article, ladies and gentlemen, that says, Baltimore Church closed last week for COVID violations, whole Sunday services, defying the health department's orders. A week ago, health department officials ordered a Baltimore-based megachurch to close its doors over coronavirus-related violations. Baltimore City Health Department inspectors said parishioners weren't wearing masks and weren't social distancing as required to slow the spread of COVID-19. But since then, however, operations of Great to Grace World Outreach Church in Northeast Baltimore, Frankfort neighborhood have largely carried on as normal. The church welcomed worshipers in person again for its services Sunday morning, while also live streaming them online, flouting the closure order. There were baptisms, talk of Easter plays to come, and congregants sharing coffee at the church between services. Some at Greater Grace Church were disappointed that the health department had attempted to intervene in the church's operations. Quote, "It's everything to me," one member said. "It's my life," another said. "It's dragged on long enough," she said. "The pandemic-related restrictions have gone too far. We can't love each other. We can't laugh. We can't hug. We can't kiss. God said, forsake not the assembling of the church as others do, and we're not going to do that." Ladies and gentlemen, that is unbelievable as what we see taking place in America with the closure of our churches. In fact, the sad thing is, ladies and gentlemen, that as a result of that, as a result of churches being closed for a year or better, thousands of them are closing. They'll never open. And according to the latest Barna report, ladies and gentlemen, when some of the churches do open, I am told by the Barna report that as much as 50% of the church membership will never go back to church. Did you understand that? Do we understand the far-reaching implications of what has taken place as a result of the lie that we've been told about COVID restrictions? And it seems as though, ladies and gentlemen, big box stores like Walmart and Best Buy, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, they're not contractors of the COVID pathogen. It seems as though COVID is only found in churches with songbooks open and people singing, praying, and worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ. That's antithetical to anything that's called sensibilities. And yet, ladies and gentlemen, we find that's what we're being told across the nation today. And I'm looking at an article that says church membership below 50%. For the first time, thousands of churches close annually. Ladies and gentlemen, this article says, even with Easter, and this was 1 week before Easter, even with Easter just 1 week away, America just isn't into church anymore. For the first time in eight decades, and likely ever, church membership for those in the country built on freedom of worship now stands at below 50%. The latest Gallup survey on church membership, a data point for polling firm first asked about in 1937, said just 47% of Americans, listen, said that 47% of Americans belong to a church. 47% of Americans belong to a church. Let me repeat that, ladies and gentlemen. The Gallup poll said that just 47% of Americans belong to a church. The historic decline, this article says, comes as fewer and fewer Americans are attending church and more, especially young adults, are claiming to have no affiliation with anything called religion. Every group, Gallup broke out, suffered declines in church membership. And it goes on to talk about that. And the article says, Gallup said that Americans remain a religious nation, but that people are getting further and further away from actively participating in a church. Gallup said the COVID-19 pandemic and the restrictions on the church attendance didn't help any at all. It also said that in America, possibly at least three churches close every day. Hear me. This article says in the survey across America, three churches are closing in America every day across America. Quote, while precise numbers of church closures are elusive, a conservative estimate is that thousands upon thousands of U.S. churches are closing each and every year, according to the Gallup survey. Ladies and gentlemen, we're in danger of losing the moral, ethical basic in America. The foundation is being eviscerated. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to have a top-of-the-hour news break for about 1 minute. Don't turn your dial. Hang in there. We're going to continue our discussion today. Should Christians be silent?
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.